Praise the Lord. We're going to get that. Set them there. Praise God. We're going to get these kids. Look at how they're having to line up and fill up more and more space in the back there. Amen. We got a couple special guest kids today. Amen. My brother-in-law, Thomas, is here. It's good to see you, sir. Amen. All the way from Florida. And he's got his two kids here, Lucas and Dahlia. Amen. It's good to see you guys. Always good to see you. Praise the Lord. Kids, are you ready for Sunday school? Yeah. All right, come on. Thanks.
I give you thanks for all you have done. Oh, I am so blessed. My soul has found rest. Oh, Lord, I give you thanks. Oh, yes, thanks. I give you thanks for all you have done. Oh, I am so blessed. My soul has found rest. Oh, Lord, I give you thanks.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, last time my loving daughter got called upon to testify while Brother Dyke was putting his jacket on. He's coming to preach. I appreciate Brother Dyke. He's an apostolic preacher. Look at him. He's got an apostolic haircut. Look at that. You know, I haven't seen him, but probably he's got apostolic toenails. from the top right to the bottom, he's apostolic, inside, outside, all around, everywhere. Amen. So I don't know anybody better to preach the apostolic one God Pentecost Sunday message, amen, than Brother Dyke. Come, take your liberty. Love you.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor. Amen. God is so good. Hallelujah. Feel the presence of the Lord here today. Felt it from the moment that we walked in. And that is the kind of church I want to go to. Amen. Is one where when you come in, amen, you feel God's presence. Amen. You feel the love that people have one to another. Amen. I want to thank Brother Greeley for inviting me to preach today. My pastor, amen, I appreciate you. Amen. I want to pull a Brother Errol Brown and say, I'm submitted to you, Pastor. Amen. Praise the Lord. You had to be here yesterday to know what I was talking about. Amen. We were discussing about, actually, I think we were sitting at lunch or something, and Pastor said, Brother Dyke, would you think about preaching Pentecost Sunday? And he specifically said something about having a different perspective. And he said, you know, I've preached this many times, but I want to see what a different perspective looks like. And so I was praying about this service, and I was thinking, different perspective. And everything that I began to think would come up, and I'd say, but that's not different. And then a few days ago, Tuesday, last week, I was just in my office studying, and something came to me, and I said, now that's different. That's a different perspective. Amen. But we are going to start with a very, very familiar verse of Scripture. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. You don't even have to turn there, because it's already on the wall behind me. Amen. But it's missing two words on the sign. That's all right. Amen. It says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Sister Kiana helped me out earlier. She was, I forget if Pastor was up here giving announcements, and she was crying. And you know what? I like that sound. I like the sound of children crying in the church. I don't like them crying at my house, but I like the sound of children, young children crying at the church because it means something. It means that there's a future. It means that there's a future. And I want today to focus your attention not just on what I'm preaching, but on especially the response, the end of this service. The end of this service, I'd like to hear a lot of newborn babes in Christ, new creatures in Christ Jesus, crying out just like that. Just like that. So let's pray. Jesus, I'm asking you, Lord, to have your way, God. Lord, I'm not bringing anything new, Lord Jesus, but God, you, Lord, have to anoint me, Lord Jesus, to preach, God. You've got to anoint the ears of the hearers, Lord. You've got to anoint our heart, Lord Jesus, to receive your word, Lord God. Your word's already anointed, Lord Jesus. But God, us as those that want to receive the word, Lord God, and respond to the word, we need your anointing, Lord Jesus. We need you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless us in this place, Lord. It's all about you, God. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord God. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. I want to specifically go back. Amen. Let's look at this text again. It says, then Peter said unto them, and I want to stop right there. Then Peter. Everybody say, then Peter. Then Peter. Amen. I'm not picking on our sign today, but it's missing, then Peter. Then Peter. So let's back up a minute, because we know, if you're apostolic, if you're Pentecostal, you know we call this the plan of salvation. We call this the commandment, and we say obey Acts 2:38. So if you'll allow me to back up a minute, to rewind if you will, I want to talk about who is Peter. If you just for the first time walked into an apostolic church, into a Pentecostal church, and you read, then Peter, you're like, well, who's Peter? Well, most of us know that he was an apostle. Most of us know that he was a disciple of Jesus. But what's his story? What is Peter's story? And how was Peter saved? When I'm asked to believe something, and especially if I'm asked to obey something, I want to consider the source. And we say obey Acts 2:38 around here. Amen. And we're talking about Peter getting up and saying, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But I want to look at Peter today because it's important to understand how things ended up for such an important person in the church. Hebrews 13:11 says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. That word conversation in Greek means lifestyle or life. And Peter definitely spoke to us the word of God. We are under Peter's authority, amen, as the preacher that preached on the day of Pentecost. We're under apostolic doctrine. And so we want to remember them. We want to understand not just how it started for them, but how did it end up for them? So Peter is named the first of all the 12 apostles, both in order and in magnitude. What do you mean? Well, Matthew 10:2 says, and this is just the first part, it says, now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter. And I said also, he's first in order of magnitude. So let's look at how many times in the Gospels Peter is mentioned. Well, the subject of the Gospels, it's not Peter, it's Jesus. Jesus is mentioned 693 times. But he had an inner circle. Jesus had an inner circle. Peter, John, and James. Peter is mentioned by Peter 155 times, and Simon is mentioned 75 times. So Simon Peter, that combination's, it's 230 times in the gospel. Amen. In just Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the first four books of the New Testament, Peter is mentioned 230 times. John is 103 less. He's only mentioned 127 times. James is mentioned 36 times, and this is the inner circle of Jesus. So we're talking about this importance and this magnitude about how important was Peter. He's mentioned more than any of the other apostles in all of the New Testament, including Paul. Mark wrote a book of the Gospels, and he's only mentioned 4 times in the Gospels. And Matthew is mentioned 5 times. Luke wrote a very important gospel and the book of Acts, and his name is not mentioned in either of those books or the Gospels. Luke has 0 mentions at all. Amen. And he's only mentioned 2 places elsewhere in the New Testament. Peter is also referred to as Cephas. That's the Chaldean version of the name Peter. Mainly by Paul 6 times. So Paul, when he was talking about Peter, he used the term Cephas. Paul, or Saul, is not mentioned in the Gospels at all, but in all the New Testament, he's mentioned 189 times. Simon Peter is the second most mentioned person in the New Testament beside Jesus, and his name is mentioned in all of the New Testament 238 times. Well, I know that's just a coincidence, but the most significant statement that Peter ever made, hands down, is Acts 2:38. So it's easy for you to remember how many times Peter was mentioned in the New Testament. 238 times. I don't really believe in coincidences. So Jesus made that happen. And so what's Peter's testimony? Like, what's the point of looking at how many times Peter's mentioned? Well, because we know in order and in magnitude, Peter is the second most mentioned person in the New Testament. That at least makes you want to take a closer look at this Peter character. Amen? So what's Peter's character? What's Peter's character and what's his testimony? Better yet, how can you, sitting here today, 2,000 years later, relate to Peter and his story? Peter's the preacher of the day of Pentecost. So on Pentecost Sunday, I want to look at who preached on the day of Pentecost and see what caused him to be saved or see what could have caused him to be lost. So as I preach today, think about what resonates with you. As Jesus called you, as he reached you, as he saved you, just as he did Peter. If you're not yet saved, if you've not yet obeyed Acts 2:38 today, then think about the course of your life right now. And as I talk about Peter and his story, compare it to Peter's story. You might be in the same place and the same boat that Peter was in when God called him. My title today is After Pentecost. After Pentecost. Where's my title slide, bro? There we go. I make these slides for him. It's like, what? Okay, after Pentecost. We got a slide up there. Amen. Because I want to start with this moment that Peter really was called to do something great. This is probably his most significant encounter with Jesus. And then I want to take you back to the beginning of his testimony and his first encounter with Jesus. And I want to see what kind of transformation that Peter went through and what God did in his life. Because before we look at after Pentecost, we got to look at before Pentecost. If you knew me before I had this Pentecostal experience, you would see somebody different than after Pentecost and after what God did in my life. Amen. Can anybody else relate to that? Amen. After I got the Holy Ghost is way different than before I got the Holy Ghost. It's night and day. Amen. In fact, I was brought out of darkness into his marvelous light. I was brought from death into life. Amen. after Pentecost, after I received the Holy Ghost, after I was converted, amen, you can't find the old me. Amen. You can't, if you think this me is bad, sorry, amen, you're dealing with me. But you should have met the old me. Amen. But this most important encounter with Jesus, amen, is in Matthew 16:15. Jesus is talking to the disciples and asking them, who do men say that I am? And then he says, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon, son of John, or Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Amen. God chose to give Peter the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Amen. And I want to call out those three keys that Peter used after Pentecost, after he was filled with the Holy Ghost, after he began to preach. Amen. It's contained in Acts 2:38. Amen. Repent. Be baptized. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Those are the keys that Peter used that gives us access to the kingdom of heaven. Amen. They are vital. Amen. They're vital in our access. We must have these keys in our life. We must have obeyed the gospel. Amen. And done what Peter described in Acts 2:38 in order to have access to the kingdom of heaven. Amen. But before we go there, amen, I want to look at Peter and his character. Because who did Jesus give the keys to the kingdom? Amen. I tell you what, I wouldn't give my keys to my truck, to my son James, and say, drive me to church or go anywhere. Amen. He doesn't seem responsible enough. Amen. Yesterday, he was driving his little remote control tank around. I know, that sounds funny. He's driving his little remote control tank around, and he keeps running it into stuff. If I gave him the keys to my truck, he'd probably run it into stuff, right? So here's Peter with all of his character issues, with all of his flaws, and he's actually in this instant jumping right in and being impulsive, and Jesus turns around and says, based on this revelation of who I am, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. So what about Peter? What about Simon Peter? Well, his character. He had some big issues. He was naturally impulsive. And I'm not going to read all these scriptures, but in Matthew 14:28, he asked Jesus, they're in the middle of a storm right out at sea, and the waves are very high, the wind is very strong, and Jesus is walking to them on the water. What does Peter do? He asked Jesus if he could jump out of the boat onto the water. I know we talk about faith, amen, but that's pretty impulsive. Just wanting to jump right out onto the waves. I mean, I get it that Jesus can do it, but me, I'm staying in the boat. I know we'd all like to say that we'd be like Peter and have the faith to walk on water to Jesus, but I think it was a trick or something. But he jumped out of the boat right into the water and asked Jesus, well, can I join you on the water? Matthew 17:4, he asked Jesus at the Mount of Transfiguration, he asked Jesus if he could build three tabernacles, one for Jesus, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. So although he knew who Jesus was and had a revelation, he still had this misnomer and didn't understand really what was going on there. And in John 21, 7 through 8, as Peter and the disciples are fishing in a boat, they see somebody on the shore calling to them. And John tells Peter, that's the master calling. That's Jesus calling. And Peter jumps out of the boat, swims to shore, and runs to Jesus. Even though they were not, the Bible says they were not very far from the shore, he couldn't wait for the rest of the disciples. Peter was naturally impulsive. And I'm talking to somebody today because, hey, that's me too. Sometimes I'm naturally impulsive and I make the wrong decision and jump to conclusions that I shouldn't do. Amen. And that's why we need Pentecost. Hallelujah. We need our hearts to be transformed by the Holy Ghost. Well, what else about Peter? He was tender-hearted and affectionate, which we think, oh, that's pretty much a good thing, right? But that can make him easily manipulated by Satan. In Matthew 26, 75, after Peter had denied Jesus, he felt greatly ashamed, and he ran from the crowd and wept bitterly. John 13, 8 and 9, he told Jesus that when Jesus was washing the disciples' feet, he said, Jesus, you'll never wash my feet. So he was passionate, but a lot of times in the wrong way. And in John 21, 15 through 17, Peter became frustrated and even grieved because while he said that he loved Jesus, he wasn't saying it back to Jesus the same way Jesus was saying it to him. While Jesus was saying, I love you unconditionally, Peter, and asking if Peter loved him unconditionally, Peter said, no, I love you like a brother. And so that kind-hearted, that tender-hearted, that affectionate mindset that Peter had, it got him in trouble a lot of times. It was almost as if Peter was responding to Jesus in a way that, like, he thought Jesus didn't trust him. Because Jesus asked him three times, do you love me? And so he got frustrated. You ever had that a conversation with one of your kids or somebody else? You say, I love you. And they're like, oh, yeah. I know. That seems like what that interaction was like with Peter. Because there was something weighing on his conscience about the denial and about what he went through. The third part of Peter's character, it seems, is that he was full of a bunch of contradictions. Sometimes he was presumptuous, and other times he seemed cowardly. Sometimes he was self-sacrificing, telling Jesus that I'll go to the end of the earth for you. But he also was inclined to be self-seeking. He seemed like he was gifted with spiritual insight, yet he was slow to understand deeper spiritual truths. And probably most importantly, this contradiction that he had was that he made two great confessions to his faith in Jesus Christ from what we read from the passage in Matthew 16. That was one of them. He made these two great confessions, but also Peter holds the record for the most cowardly denial of Jesus in all of the scriptures. The way he denied Jesus was almost abnormal, because denying Jesus once, okay, maybe we misunderstood you, but denying him three times and sort of escalating and doubling down on the denial, he just seemed like a coward. He just seemed like it was totally abnormal the way that he handled this. And this is how we know that the church was not built on Peter. God wouldn't build his church on such an unstable, strange contradictory person. It wasn't built on Peter. It was built on the revelation that Peter had. It was built on the revelation that God gave to Peter. And it was built on the keys that God gave to Peter. Amen. Peter needed a conversion. Peter needed a change of heart. Peter needed something way more than what he was working with. Jesus was not going to allow Simon, the son of Jonah, to use the keys before Pentecost, before he received the Holy Ghost. But he was absolutely going to use Peter after Pentecost, after he was filled with his Spirit. See, God, amen, is a spirit. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So Peter, in order to truly preach and worship God, had to be filled with the Spirit. In order to really, truly feed the sheep, he had to really, truly be filled with God's power. Amen. It wouldn't be fair for us to just talk about all Peter's character flaws and all the things that were wrong with Peter. We're just not that kind of church. Amen. We don't want to focus just on the negative things about everybody. We shouldn't really focus on the negative things about anybody. Amen. But what we should do is be looking at one another through the eyes of faith. What can God do? What about his mercy? What about his grace? What about how much Jesus loves you and every one of us? Amen. What about what God wants to do in you? Amen. What about what God wants to do after Pentecost? Amen. We expect God to do a great work in each and every person that walks through those doors. Why would we be here if we said, okay, 99 can come in, but the one, I don't know, maybe they're too lost. Amen. It reminds me, and I've said this before, one time Brother Joel was a little down. You mind if I tell this? One time Brother Joel was a little down, and he calls me before Wednesday service. He says, and I don't know, you know, I've had a rough day, and I'm not doing right. And I said, well, then you need to come to church. And he goes, well, I don't think I deserve to be there. I said, what kind of church do you think this is? This is a church full of sinners. Yeah. We're saved by God's grace. We're not, I hope you're not out there sinning and living in open sin, but you do need to recognize the flawed condition in your heart. And let God keep working on you. Because if you sit there and say, I'm not a sinner, man, I don't, it's like a pride thing that I don't even want to be around. Amen. When somebody says, I'm not a sinner, it means like I want to run to the altar for them. Praise the Lord. This church is full of lost people that are still trying to make it, still trying to get to God. Amen. We haven't attained yet. We haven't made it yet. But we're still pressing on towards Jesus. Amen. And we know that after you receive the Holy Ghost, after Pentecost, that God will begin to use you. Think about what God did after Pentecost for Peter. It was way greater than anything Peter could have ever imagined. Amen. I want to back up now. Amen. Because there are times in our approach to God, through his process of saving us, that define our relationship with him. These moments when we have those encounters and those situations where God takes care of something that we didn't have control over, and God makes this significant moment in our life, amen, those moments give us hope. They give us faith. They build our faith and they gauge our commitment and our trust for God. The same was true for Peter. So I want to talk to you about some of the key moments in Peter's life, and hopefully you'll see some similarity with your own life. So what about, where did it start with Peter? What was Peter's calling like? Well, I don't know if you knew this, but Peter's recorded as being the first person to follow Jesus. Very first. So even if he didn't play a significant role in the church, if the first disciple of Jesus ended up lost, then what hope do we have? If the very first person to follow Jesus ended up not making it and having, you know, trouble serving God after Pentecost, what hope do I have? Not any. But if the first person to follow Jesus did make it and he was used mightily by God, then that gives me hope that God can do something great and mighty in my life and in my family. So let's go look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So Jesus is walking along the seashore, and he's saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they straightway left their nets and followed him. The first key, I talked about the keys of the kingdom. The first key that Peter learned when he first encountered Jesus was to repent and believe the gospel. Peter did not hesitate to follow Jesus. He stopped what he was doing. He left his nets and he followed Jesus. The beginning, amen, the next encounter is the beginning of Jesus' healing ministry. It starts in whose house? That's right, Peter's house. Mark 1:29. It's the first recording of Jesus ever healing anybody. Starts in Peter's house. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother, or Simon's mother-in-law, sometimes people are telling you a story, my sister's mother's cousin, you know. That's kind of what the scripture is doing here. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever. And anon, they tell him of her. But he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. So this demonstration of the great healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ, it confirmed that Peter made the right choice to follow Jesus. That Peter's choice was the right choice. And it also taught Peter that God, that what God started with him and his family in his house could end up blessing everyone else. It's the healing started in his house, but it didn't stay there because a whole crowd of people started bringing all their sick, all their disease, all their possessed with devils, and Jesus healed them all. What God starts with you, amen. What God starts with you can have a ripple effect for generations to come. He starts it in your house, he could save your neighbors. He starts it in your house, he can save your coworkers. He can start in your house and he can save your children and your grandchildren. Amen. What God started in Peter's house to heal just his mother-in-law, all of a sudden, there was a healing crusade. And then in the very next verse, Peter is taught who needs Jesus. He's taught that all men need Jesus. Mark 1:35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he, Jesus, went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. And he said unto them, let us go into the next towns, and that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. So what happens is after Jesus is done healing all the people, they go to bed. Jesus wakes up early to go pray. And the disciples find him and say, hey, you know, everybody from the town and probably the next couple towns over, they heard about what's going on here. He says, all men seek for thee. And, you know, that's a fact. That's a fact. Whether you know it or not, every person is seeking for Jesus. It's what you're missing. Jesus is who you're missing in your life. You might be thinking, well, I'm just searching for this or I'm just searching for that. No, we're all searching for Jesus. God created us with that void in our heart to seek his face, to find him, to search after him, to long after him. You might think, oh, I'm looking for a new job, or oh, I'm looking for the next high, or I'm looking for the next party. And you're looking for something that cannot satisfy your soul. But Jesus can satisfy your soul. And I'm here to tell you today, he's who you're looking for. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when Peter preached after he received the Holy Ghost, after Pentecost, these words echoed in his mind. Let us go to the next towns. That's what Jesus' response was to Peter. All men are looking for me. We need to go on to the next town. After Acts 2:38 comes Acts 2:39. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Peter knew by the power of the Holy Ghost that Pentecost was not going to stop in Jerusalem. Amen. But the ministry of the Lord Jesus would be much greater after Pentecost. Peter also witnessed that encounter with Nicodemus. John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The second key number two, is be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. I'm talking about access to the kingdom of heaven. You need to have these keys. You've got to repent and obey the gospel. You've got to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Amen. Well, there's those that would say, well, there's no record of Jesus' apostles being baptized. Or, well, when did Peter obey Acts 2:38. And you're right. There's no statement in Scripture that says specifically, and Peter was baptized in the name of Jesus. But if you know anything about that time and that culture, baptism was common. And John was already baptizing people unto repentance. And we know that the antidote or the answer to baptism for repentance is in Acts 19. Acts 19 says that they were all baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So here's the answer. Did Peter obey Acts 2:38? Well, yes, of course he did. John 4, the very next chapter, verse 1, says, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, then listen to this, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again unto Galilee. Peter, did you catch that? Peter was baptized. His disciples were baptized. And how were they baptized? They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. This is consistent throughout all Scripture. Mark 16:16 says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Peter and the rest of the apostles were already baptized in Jesus' name before the day of Pentecost. Peter did not just make up the instructions in Acts 2:38. Let's look at Luke 24:47. Remember, Peter was here and heard these words. He says, "And that repentance," repent, "and remission of sins," baptized for the remission of sins, "should be preached in his name." Whose name? The name of Jesus Christ. "Among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Peter was just following the commandment of the Lord Jesus and fulfilling this very prophecy. Peter was the one that preached. He started and preached on the day of Pentecost. Amen. After Pentecost, Peter not only baptized in Jesus' name, but he commanded to be baptized. He commanded them to be baptized in Jesus' name. Acts 10:47 says, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him tarry certain days. So after Pentecost, Paul had the disciples of John rebaptized because they had not been baptized in Jesus' name. Acts 19:2 says, "And he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied." Amen. Pentecost Sunday would be a great day for you if you have not been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today would be a great day for you to be baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God, you are so good. Do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. Amen. Peter was with Jesus at the Feast of Tabernacles when the Lord prophesied the promise of the Holy Ghost. That's key number three. John 7:37 says, "In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Key number three is, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Luke 11:9 says this, "And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that seeketh, that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil," the answer is no, by the way, to all those questions. "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" Amen. Oh, Thank you, Jesus, that he is answering the door. Amen. He is answering the call. Amen. Jesus is still answering when people call upon him and ask him for his spirit. Amen. Jesus doesn't want to deny. He wants every single person to receive the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. He doesn't want you to be going through life all by yourself, making all kinds of mistakes and having your old nature without his power. But he wants you to have an experience after Pentecost. He wants to do more with you than you can ever imagine. Amen. You're like, well, I don't know about that because I don't know what he's getting me into. Well, that's fair. That's fair. But all it is that he's going to use you to be saved and to help save others. Amen. Peter had all these experiences, all these great experiences with Jesus and more. But we know that in Peter's testimony, there were also a great amount, some moments of difficulty. Amen. Even failure and that denial of the Lord Jesus Christ. This has all happened before Pentecost. Amen. And I'm going to go quickly through these seven steps, and I'll give you the references. The seven steps to Peter's fall. And the point here is that you should take heed lest you fall. We got to be careful. Amen. We feel the power of the Holy Ghost. We feel the power of Pentecost. We've got to go on from there. We can't go back to that old nature. Amen. Peter was conceited. In Matthew 26, 33. He had a love of ease in Matthew 26, 40. He was quick to make the wrong choice, or he was rash. John 18, 10. He followed from afar off. Matthew 26, 58. He had evil associations. He didn't want to associate with the believers, but he wanted to get cozy with the world. He had evil associations in John 18, 17 and 18. He had an open denial of Jesus in John 18, 25. And also, he committed blasphemy in Mark 14, 70 through 71. After his fall, when that rooster crowed, the second time that rooster crowed, the third time Peter denied Jesus, he ran ashamed and wept bitterly. He rightly would have been devastated because at this time Jesus was on trial. Here Jesus is in the court being mocked and spit on and falsely accused. And that's the very moment that Peter denied Jesus the third time. Peter had gone there to watch the end. In his mind, this is the end. It's over. There's nothing more for me. Amen. I'm so glad that Jesus knew that he was going to have a Pentecost. Amen. He knew that he had prayed for Peter that his faith wouldn't fail and that he was going to be converted. And he had a plan to bring Peter to Pentecost. Amen. So the worst they had done to Jesus to that point was to slap him and spit on him and falsely accuse him and mock him, which was pretty bad. But how much worse did Peter feel after what happened next? As you know, they dragged Jesus to be whipped with the cat of nine tails, broken glass and shards of metal, beating him to a bloody pulp, ripping his back apart. They forced that crown of thorns on his head. They make him drag his own cross to Calvary. Then they crucify him between two thieves. How do you feel now, Peter? Now that the Lord is crucified. Now that he's buried. Now that he's gone. Peter's devastation. It's when you read this story, it's tangible. How broken he must have felt. How ashamed he was. How he wept bitterly and he and he repented. Amen. How do you feel, Peter? You know, we always remember, at least I do, I always remember the last thing I said to a departed loved one. And sometimes I regret the last thing I said to the departed one, loved one. What was the last Peter said when Jesus caught his eye on the way to Calvary? Think about that. In Peter's condition, what was the last thing Peter said to Jesus? Well, he had attested that he was going to follow Jesus to the end of the earth. He had attested that, though all men be offended at thee, I will never be offended at thee. He had to eat those words, didn't he? Jesus is dead in the ground. And Peter doesn't think Jesus is coming back. Amen. Thankfully, Jesus is a merciful God. There was a reconciliation between our risen Savior and a broken Peter. If the resurrection was to have an impact on anyone, it would have to start with Peter. Peter was the first disciple. Jesus' healing ministry started at Peter's house. What was the power of the resurrection in Peter's life? John 21 invites Peter, and I'm not going to read there, but Jesus invites Peter to declare his unconditional love for him. Jesus gives Peter the mandate, feed my sheep. You, the first follower, you, the first disciple, you, the first named apostle, you, the one I gave the keys to the kingdom of heaven after Pentecost, feed my sheep. Jesus wanted Peter to know that he must trust God and him alone. There would be no Pentecost message from the flesh. It had to come from the Holy Ghost. Amen. Would you stand with me today? Amen. Some of us need to reconcile with Jesus. Some of us need to come, amen, and be washed again by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Some of us have struggled to serve the Lord. Amen. But I got to tell you, after Pentecost, after you experience the power of the Holy Ghost, there's not supposed to be a regression to do less for God or to fall away from God. Amen. After you receive the power of the Holy Ghost, you're supposed to stir up the gift that's within you. You're supposed to continue to grow in the Spirit and by the grace of God. You're supposed to continue to move closer to the Lord. Your family's supposed to grow closer to the Lord. Amen. After Pentecost, God wants to do way more with you. Amen. Matter of fact, he might not even want to use you before Pentecost, but after Pentecost, there's no question that God wants to use every single one of you. Amen. There is something for you to do for the kingdom of God. Amen. You might not even know what it is yet. And I'm sure Peter didn't know. Peter had no clue. You can tell by the story, Peter had no clue what Jesus was about to do in his life. Amen. The sun went down one day, the day before Pentecost, and when it rose up that next day, Peter was still there. Peter was still there at the upper room, waiting and tarrying for the Lord Jesus. Amen. This time, Peter obeyed. This time, Peter did not fall asleep. This time, Peter was not going to be impulsive. So, I often think about how powerful the impact of the resurrection was on them, especially Peter. There's no other explanation for why they did not leave Jerusalem until God moved and the promise was fulfilled. And Peter's road to Pentecost was not unlike many of our own. God deals with us throughout our lives. Sometimes he deals with us later in life than others, and that's just fine. Amen. And He leads us to a place where we're ready to repent. We're ready to use those keys to the kingdom of heaven. Ready to repent. Ready to be baptized. And ready to receive the Holy Ghost. We could go around this room today and talk about each and every person's path to Pentecost and how God brought you into the church and God started something new in your life. Amen. But it would obviously take too long, but God showed us His mercy. He showed us His grace. He showed us His love. But after Pentecost and after the Holy Ghost baptism, Peter's character changed. There, where he was impulsive before, he became like a rock. Jesus called him, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock." And I know in the context, amen, Jesus called him a rock. Amen. You're going to be a rock after Pentecost. Before Pentecost, he was brash. After Pentecost, he became courageous. And before Pentecost, he was unstable. He was like water. But after Pentecost, his doctrine, the apostles' doctrine, is still here today, 2,000 years later. Think about the ripple effect of what Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. The staying power, the lasting power. Amen. That Acts 2:38 message is still saving people right now. Right now, as I speak, people are being filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Right now, as I speak, somebody's going down in the wonderful, powerful, mighty name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. They're being covered by the blood of Jesus. Amen. Right now. Right now. In this church today, right now, I hope, amen, that I can call you to this altar. I told you in the beginning that every single one of us should be like that newborn baby. She's not newborn anymore. She's getting louder. Grandma. But every one of us should be calling out to God, crying out to the Lord. Amen. If you want to come here to the front, amen. People are here. We'll pray with you. Amen. We'll pray with you through that prayer of repentance. If you're here and you want to come, amen, come and be renewed with the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Every single one of us today should leave filled with the Holy Ghost, refreshed and renewed today. Hallelujah. I want to pray. And as I pray, if you feel that call, would you just respond to the Holy Ghost? Hallelujah. Jesus, right now in this place, God. Oh, Lord Jesus, you have a plan for me, God, after Pentecost, Lord. You've got a plan for me to be used by you, God. You've got a plan for me, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, it might not be to preach, Lord God, but, God, it'll be to reach a loved one, God. Oh, God, it might not be, Lord Jesus, some speaking position or something great, Lord God, but I'm willing to do anything, God. I'm willing to do everything, Lord Jesus, that you would want and desire me to do, God. Hallelujah. Can some folks gather around and pray? Hallelujah for these here today. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Call out to God. Oh, yes, Lord. Come on, maybe today is a day that God begins to use you to pray somebody through to the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, God, we love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, I need that Pentecostal message, Lord God. I need those keys, Lord, in my life, God. I want to repent, Lord Jesus. I want to call out to you, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord, oh, Lord. Lord, come on, reach out and pray for somebody. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, find somebody to pray with. Find somebody to be renewed in the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Jesus, I belong to you. You're the reason that I live, the reason that I see. Jesus, I believe.
Still praying, and we're going to pray again in just a moment. But I've got a word for you. After Pentecost. What an awesome message it is. After today, Pentecost Sunday. Amen. Things can be different for the rest of your life. Amen. Things can be different for eternity. After Pentecost. Amen. We're going to pray and we're going to sing again just a moment in a closing song. But while we do, I'd like you to consider this. What good would it do to be in a Pentecostal church if you don't have a Pentecostal experience? What's the point? And if you want to have a Pentecostal experience, here is water. Amen. I stuck my hand in there. And the water's nice and warm. It's all ready. We have in the back baptismal robes. If you're concerned, I didn't bring any baptism. You didn't have to bring anything because we're already ready for that. You take your street clothes off. You put the baptismal robe on. You come out. It takes about 5 minutes. We say in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize you for the remission of your sins. Are you ready? Yep. Okay, hold your breath. In Jesus' name, we put you down, bring you back up. And you know what? You will have a Pentecostal experience. It's that simple. I mean, I'm not even putting any fluff on it. In fact, it's so simple. It's in a single verse of Scripture. The plan of God is so simple. It's held in one verse. Here it is. The Pentecostal experience is ready and willing, and you are able to have a Pentecostal experience today. Amen. In this church. Amen. If you want it, it's here. Amen. You can have your sins. What does it feel like to have all your sins paid for by Jesus Christ on the cross at Calvary, and your sins are remitted before God, and there's no sin in your life, and you're pure and holy. Holy. Good thing I wasn't preaching today.
Thank you, Lord.
What does it feel like? Well, you can find out. After Pentecost is the rest of your whole life. Amen. It can be different from today. Amen. I'd like you to consider that while we sing one more time. If there's somebody who'd like to be baptized in Jesus' name, just come on up here, tell Brother Dyke, and he'll get you ready. Okay? Amen. If there's a lady, we'll have a lady go with you and get ready. If it's a man, we'll have a man go with you. You'll get ready. Amen. Let's do it. Let's sing one more time. Join us. Worship. Worship.
the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. I just want to do something here at the end. Amen. Why don't we, I don't know, how am I going to do this? Amen. If today is your first time in service, can you stand if you wouldn't mind? Today's your first time ever being here. Amen. That means if you've already been here before, you can be seated. If today's your first time ever here, I know we've got a bunch of brand new kids I've never seen before. Amen. It's their first time here in a Pentecostal church on Pentecost Sunday. Amen. I feel like we need to pray a Pentecostal blessing upon them before they leave. And I know most of them are children, so I'd ask you, let's just right here at the end of service, let's pray a Pentecostal blessing upon those new people that's their first time, or maybe you've only been here for a couple of times. Can we do that together? Right here at the end, right where you're seated or standing, amen. If you would just lift up your hands and ask God that every single new person here in this place, if God would bless them, amen, with a Pentecost. Jesus, right now, Lord, asking you, God, to touch them, Lord Jesus. Lord, bring them to a place, Lord God, where, Lord, they can have a Pentecostal experience, God, where you can have, they can have a change in their heart, a transformation, God. Lord, a blessing, Lord God, the blessing of Pentecost, oh God. Lord, that is the power of the Holy Ghost in their life. God, that they can walk in the Spirit, God, that they can move in the Spirit, Jesus. Hallelujah, that they can be new and alive in the Spirit, oh God. Oh Lord Jesus, touch the young people, God. Lord Jesus, that it's their first time here, God. I'm asking you, Lord, to bless them and have your way in their life, God. Oh Jesus, we thank you and praise you for it. Lord God, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Everybody say, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for coming. Amen. This has been such an awesome, wonderful spirit, amen, of the Lord that's been in this place. God is so good. Amen. We've got Wednesday night service at 7 p.m. Amen. And we've got all the events coming up. There's a calendar if you want. There's a QR code you can scan and add that calendar for the church to your phone. And it's right up here on this register, right by Jared. Raise your hand, Jared. Yep, right there. Yep. Amen. And also register for these elements class. They're very, very good. Actually, right before we leave, I asked Brother Matt if he would say something about the elements class. And can you come and do that right now? I know it's just couple more minutes. I told him take 2 minutes.
I'll try to take 2 minutes. So when I first came here, I came from another religion, so I had a lot of questions. But sitting back over there in the pews, I felt God's Holy Spirit. Yeah. I felt it so much. I had tears coming out of my eyes, and somebody reached out and grabbed my shoulder and told me that they are Jehovah, they are Jesus, I am your God. Amen. And at that very moment, I knew two things. Jesus is God, and this is my church. Amen. And when this elements class came up, I had a lot of questions. Yeah. Coming from a different background, I needed answers. So I joined this class, and the answers weren't there the first class. So I asked Brother Dyke and Pastor about these questions I had and was encouraged to continue the classes. And by the third week, my whole outlook changed. At first, I wanted my answers. I needed my answers. And then as I continued to study, I grew closer to God. Yeah. I felt His Spirit guide me into these teachings, and stuff that I've gone over before was all new, all over in my heart. That's good. And I encourage each and every one of you here to, no matter how long you studied for, if you're new, if you're old, to take on to these classes, to draw closer to God. Amen. It's working for me. Awesome. God bless.
Thank you, man. Praise the Lord. What else do we need to say? Register for the elements class. It doesn't matter if you've been coming to church for 40 years or if it's your first week. Register for these classes and you will be blessed. Thank you so much for coming. You're blessed in Jesus' name. You're dismissed.